Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, July 19, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians, the great book on suffering for blessing. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, before we get started tonight, I've been listening to a lot of you grumble. Grumble about the fact that it's hot. Well, you know what? I hope it gets hotter. I hope it gets hotter. You know what I love about living in the desert? You have to be a survivor to live in the desert. Many of you know I love to hunt. I love to hunt and fish. And I thought when I first came to Las Vegas, I even prayed to the Father. I said, Father, why are you bringing me to the desert? You know I love to hunt and to fish. And obviously there can't be any hunting. What are you going to hunt for, a lizard? Scorpion? Well, I was wrong. God is infinitely greater in knowledge than I am. Most of you are than I am. And since I have been here, I have a house full of trophy animals, all from the state of Nevada. All from Nevada. And trophy animals. And fish. Trophy fish. I have had greater hunting and fishing in Nevada than I ever had growing up in the state of Washington. But there's one animal I really learned to come to respect, and that is the desert bighorn sheep. You talk about a survivor. The desert bighorn sheep. He only needs to get water once a month. Once a month. He's a survivor. And we have more desert bighorn sheep in Nevada than the rest of the world. And there are all these big-time hunters that are trying to get the grand slam of sheep hunting. And they do pretty well with the other three. There's four of them. But the hardest one for them to get is the desert bighorn sheep because they can't get a tag. They apply and apply and apply and they can't get a tag. Well, I knew we have desert bighorn sheep. I see them over by the sheep range from my house. I can look out the sheep range and there's that desert bighorn sheep all over up there. So I always put in for it. They only gave like three tags out every year. I put in every year, year after year after year. And then one year, I got drawn. I got drawn for a desert bighorn sheep tag. And they have, now I my tag costs like $35. They have one tag called the governor's tag that they auction off to all these big time hunters all over the world trying to get a desert bighorn sheep tag. That year, they auctioned off the governor's tag for $250,000. Obviously, these guys have lots of money. Mine was $35. I kind of wanted to find out who this guy was. I would have given him mine for $150,000. Desert bighorn sheep are survivors. And I have the greatest respect for them. Now, you live in the desert. Great! Quit complaining. Have a great mental attitude. Be a survivor. Hell, anybody can live in California, but who'd want to? Oh, with nice ocean breezes and so evil. No, I'm glad I live in the desert. And a desert rat. This is great. So it's a little bit hot. Like I said, I hope it gets hotter. And we're doing pretty good with that too. So that's my preaching for tonight. My preaching is over. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Corrected translation beginning at verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels, a human body, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We are afflicted, oppressed in every way, phlebo, but we absolutely are not crushed, stenokoreo. We have great inner pressures in our soul, opereo. But we are not totally despairing, ex opereo. We are persecuted, dioko, but we absolutely are not abandoned, deserted, forsaken, enkatalepo. We are struck down, kataballo, but not destroyed, apolumi. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, that is, suffering for blessing of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed, manifested in our body. Verse 11. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, the danger of death, suffering for blessing, for Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. verse 12. So then, death, the dangers of death, suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, the spiritual life in you. Verse 13. But by means of having the same spirit of faith, and this is faith rest. Faith rest as a problem-solving device. According to what is written, and now he quotes Psalm 116, verse 10. I believe that was David's faith rest life. And therefore, I spoke, communicated the absolute truth of the Word of God. We also believe Paul and his team living the faith rest life and in this dispensation, the spiritual life. Therefore, we also speak, communicate the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now this last verse, verse 13, teaches us what enabled the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy and Pastor Titus and Silvanus to clear all the hurdles of suffering for blessing described in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. Paul's quotation of Psalm 116:10 gives us the answer. Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, they all had the problem-solving device of faith rest out on the flat line of their soul. Forward line of troops out on their soul. Now they had all 10 problem-solving devices, but the one being emphasized here by the Apostle Paul is the faith rest life. They used the faith rest technique to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. They worked for Paul. They worked for Timothy. They worked for Titus. They worked for Silvanus. And they will work for you. And we have some great, great believers in this church. And this church goes not only here, but the non-face-to-face members of the church all over this country and other parts of the world. The faith rest technique will work for you in spiritual maturity. When you reach spiritual maturity, you're qualified for the most unique and wonderful greater grace blessing that God has. Suffering for blessing. Now you're qualified to receive the mantle of suffering for blessing. And what an honor. What an honor that has been bestowed on you to have the greater grace blessing of suffering for blessing and the opportunity of applying faith rest, virtue love, personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Christ, personal sense of destiny, and apply it and clear those hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. And when you do, you are glorifying God to the maximum in your life. And you will continue to glorify God forever and ever and ever in heaven. And that is awesome. That is fantastic. So they used the faith rest technique to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. In quoting Psalm 116, verse 10, the faith rest life of Old Testament believers not only enabled them to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, but faith rest was also their spirituality. That was spirituality for Old Testament believers. Now we live in the church age. What a great dispensation. We have the universal indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. Spirituality for us is the filling of the Spirit. But there was no indwelling of the Spirit in the Old Testament. There was no filling of the Spirit in the Old Testament. Spirituality in the Old Testament was living the faith rest life. And there's an entire chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, all the heroes of the Old Testament. And it always starts out by faith. What's that? By maximum faith rest life function from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Every time. By faith. By maximum faith rest life from maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And it goes through all these great spiritually mature believers in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're studying one of the greatest Old Testament believers, Abraham, in James 2, 21 to 24. So faith rest was spirituality for Old Testament believers. And one of the great passages that teaches this and illustrates this is James 2, 21 to 24, which we started to look at last time. We're going to continue looking at it this evening. And also, Hebrews chapter 11 also teaches these things. James 2, 21 and 22. You want to turn over to James 2. We'll be in there till we finish this great illustration of faith rest. And also, this is the central passage in the Word of God that teaches phase two justification. Now, you're here on Sunday in Romans, and Romans, all the way through Romans, we have phase one justification. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ. That is very magnificent doctrine. But the doctrine of justification is not just phase one justification. There is also phase two justification. And the central passage that teaches phase two justification is James chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. So James 2, verse 21, was not Abraham, our ancestor, justified by works? Phase two justification. That's justification by grace, righteous production. And what was the demonstration, the illustration that he had in phase two justification? When he offered his son Isaac on the altar. Yes, of course he was. That was the great illustration to everyone, to man and to millions of angels, that Abraham was a spiritually mature believer. He had maximum faith rest function. He believed the promises and the doctrines of the Word of God. And therefore, when God said, take your son up, Isaac, and offer him on Mount Moriah, he didn't argue, he didn't complain, he didn't go, but. He said, yes, sir, and he moved out. You see that faith rest life kept on working together with his grace righteous production. And as a result of his works, his grace righteous production, his faith rest life was carried through to completion. Spiritual maturity. He was not only a spiritual maturity, but he was given a title that only winner believers are given, and that is philos tou theou, the friend of God. Only the winner believer receives that accolade, the friend of God. Abraham's phase one justification by faith, is found in Genesis 15:6. But Abraham believed in the Lord, and he imputed it to him for righteousness. But Abraham faced two justification, justification by works, by grace, righteous production, after salvation, is found in this passage, James 2, 21 to 24. Works, grace, righteous production, are the actions and the deeds of living the faith rest life to the maximum, which was spirituality in the Old Testament, and for us today, living the unique spiritual life of the church age. It is the result of believing the promises and the doctrines of the Word of God. The offering of Isaac was a dramatic illustration of the faith rest life of Abraham. It was the peak of Abraham's spiritual maturity. It's recorded in Genesis 22, 1 to 19. We see it here in James 2, 21 to 24, which we are currently studying, and in Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 19. In Hebrews 11, the great chapter on Old Testament heroes, spiritually mature believers, and everyone starts out with, by faith. By living the faith rest life to the maximum from metabolized doctrine in the heart. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, this was testing, this wasn't discipline, this was testing, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac, your son, your seed shall be called. And Abraham considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back, figuratively speaking. Yes, he did, because it was all a test. It was never God's intention. God does not, the living and true God does not promote human sacrifice. This was a test all the way. Not for Abraham. God knew he was going to pass the test. It's a test for you and you and you and you. What's the most important love in your life? You need to ask yourself that. What is the most important love in your life? Is it your husband? Is it your wife? Is it your children? Is it your relatives? What's the most important love in your life? For Abraham, the most important love in his life was the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus Christ. He was occupied with Jesus Christ. He knew who and what Jesus Christ was. And if Jesus Christ said, take your son up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice, yes, sir. And he believed if he did sacrifice his son, he believed he would be resurrected right there, resuscitated. But God never intended him to sacrifice his son. It was a test to demonstrate that he was a spiritually mature believer. He was occupied with Jesus Christ. And here is the grace righteous production of a spiritually mature believer. That is justification by faith. That is justification by grace righteous production, or phase two justification. So God's command to Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah was a test. In fact, it was evidence testing. Evidence testing of spiritually mature believer Abraham. This evidence test for spiritually mature believer Abraham was this. Is God more important to you than anything else in your life? Even your son, Isaac. And it was. Jesus Christ was his most important love. Abraham received the accolade, friend of God, philos tou theou. He had great spirituality. He had maximum faith rest function. He attained spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. James 2:23. He was given the name philos tou theou, friend of God. Abraham took the function of the faith rest life to the ultimate. And when Abraham offered Isaac, he was pronounced to be a grace righteous believer, a spiritually mature believer. Now phase one justification, justification by faith in Jesus Christ, is imputed righteousness and occurs at the moment of faith in Christ, the salvation. Phase two justification, justification by works, grace righteous production, is a declaration that the believer has attained spiritual maturity, grace righteousness, and has the virtues and values that come from living the faith rest life to the maximum. These grace righteous works are the result of living the faith rest life and attaining spiritual maturity. Now the grace righteous believer is thinking divine viewpoint to the maximum. And the stronger your faith rest life, the greater your grace righteous production. We have the faith rest life as a problem solving device, just as the Old Testament believers did. But we, church age saints, royal family of God, we go way beyond their faith rest life. We have the unique spiritual life of the church age. We have the universal indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, and spirituality, the filling of the Spirit. The maximum, the faith rest life, the maximum function of the faith rest life is the way the spiritually mature believer thinks. Abraham learned and believed the promises and the doctrines of the Word of God, and then he applied them to his life. Spiritual maturity, maximum faith rest function, emphasizes what you think. Believing and applying the promises and doctrinal rationales of God's Word to your life. You have reached the peak of grace righteous production when you reach the point of occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's where Abraham is in James 2:21-24. This great accomplishment of spiritual maturity is thinking grace, maximum grace orientation, and thinking truth, maximum doctrinal orientation. The thinking of the soul will reflect itself in overt activity, which is related to grace righteousness, spiritual maturity, virtue, and values, and in motivation to fulfill our two royal commissions, to fulfill our royal priesthood, representing ourselves before the Lord, and fulfilling our royal ambassadorship, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Abraham lived the faith rest life to the maximum. Abraham cleared the hurdle of evidence testing by offering his son Isaac. And he cleared the hurdle through the faith rest technique. Now we're still in James 2. Now verses 23 and 24. James 2:23. And the scripture, Genesis 15:6, which says, "And Abraham had believed in thee God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was imputed to him for righteousness." That's phase one justification. That's justification by faith in Christ. It was brought to completion. It attained its objective. In fact, he was called philos tou theou, the friend of God. You see, that a person is justified by works, grace, righteous production, phase two justification, and not by faith alone, phase one justification. One, Abraham had already become a believer before he left the third dynasty of Ur. By the way, that was, I already taught James. I've taught James, and that was the corrected translation after I taught James, James 2, 23 and 24. Abraham had already become a believer before he left the third dynasty of Ur and came into the land of Canaan, Genesis chapter 12. So in Genesis 15, 6, and 7, he was already a believer. Two, Abraham received justification by faith, phase one justification, prior to Genesis 12. Abraham received justification by faith or phase one justification prior to Genesis 12. And salvation in the Old Testament is exactly the same as salvation in the New Testament epistles. Throughout all of human history, salvation is always the same. Faith in Jesus Christ. Three, justification by faith, phase one justification, precedes justification by grace righteous production, phase two justification. Justification by faith, phase one justification, precedes justification by grace righteous production, phase two justification. That's spiritual maturity. Four, at the moment he believed in Christ, divine righteousness was imputed to Abraham. He was justified, declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Phase one justification. So at the moment he believed in Christ, divine righteousness was imputed to Abraham. He was justified, declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. That's phase one justification. Five, Abraham's post-salvation, faith rest life was brought to completion with the offering of his son Isaac. Justification by grace, righteous production. Phase two justification. The justification given to the spiritually mature believer. So Abraham's post-salvation faith rest life was brought to completion with the offering of his son Isaac. Justification by grace righteous production, or phase two justification. Abraham's faith rest life was an extension of his salvation faith in Jesus Christ, in the sense that now, instead of believing in Christ for salvation, now he believed in the promises and doctrines of the mind of Christ, the Word of God, maximum faith rest life. The object of faith and salvation is always faith in Jesus Christ. The object of faith after salvation is a series of promises and doctrines which God provides, and which God provided for Abraham to believe. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ provides, the promises and doctrines of the mind of Christ to attain spiritual maturity. When Abraham believed these promises and doctrines of God's word, He was justified by grace, righteous production. The actions and deeds of spiritual maturity, living the faith rest life to the objective of spiritual maturity. 6, the faith of justification by faith in Christ. The faith of justification by faith in Christ validates eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. The faith of justification by faith in Christ validates eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. Seven. The faith of justification by grace righteous production validates the function of the maximum faith rest life and spiritual maturity. The faith of justification by grace righteous production validates the function of maximum faith rest life and spiritual maturity. Eight, Abraham was called the friend of God. What an honor. Philos tou theou, the friend of God. James 2:23 and 2 Chronicles 20:7. Abraham was called the friend of God because he is a spiritually mature believer occupied with Jesus Christ. The most important love in Abraham's life is Jesus Christ. And he, don't get me wrong, he loved his son Isaac very, very much. Now there's always idiots out there, liberals, well, oh, how mean of a father can you be? Take your son up and you're going to sacrifice him. He loved Isaac very, very, very much. But Isaac was not his most important love. Jesus Christ was his most important love. And this came from Jesus Christ. He didn't argue. He didn't complain. He didn't say, What are you saying? He said, yes, sir. And he headed up to Mount Moriah. And he is given this title, the friend of God. 9, friend of God is the highest accolade given to an Old Testament believer. Friend of God is the highest accolade given to an Old Testament believer because it indicates the attainment of spiritual maturity, occupation with Jesus Christ, maximum faith rest life. Friend of God is the highest accolade given to an Old Testament believer because it indicates the attainment of spiritual maturity, occupation with Jesus Christ, maximum faith rest life. Now, verse 26, James 2:26. For just as the body without breath is dead, even so faith, the faith rest life without works, without grace righteous production, is dead. Operational death. That's operational death. For just as the body without breath is dead, even so faith, the faith rest life without works, grace righteous production, is dead. Operational death. So one, The believer living on the earth without spirituality, you're living in the cosmic system. If you're not filled with the Spirit, then you are living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system, and you are a loser. 2. James 2:26 is the analogy to the believer in carnal death, out of fellowship with God, resulting in operational death, no grace righteous production. James 2:26 is the analogy to the believer in carnal death, out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, resulting in operational death, no grace righteous production. Now, when you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you might have a lot of human good and evil, but that doesn't honor and glorify God at all. It's grace righteous production as a result of living the spiritual life, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then you have maximum divine good production, grace righteous production. So James 2:26 is the analogy to the believer out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, resulting in operational death, no grace righteous production. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Ephesians 5, 14. For it is light that makes everything visible. And this is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper." I like the word sluggard. That's in there. Wake up. Now, what is wake up, O sleeper? First, a sleeper is you're out of fellowship with God. You have no spiritual life. You're living in the cosmic system. And wake up is rebound. Rebound. You got to wake up and rebound. Get back in fellowship with God. And for us today in the church age, get back in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit in your spiritual life, and then get going. Get going. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. So wake up, rebound, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And this is temporal death. This is carnal death, temporal death. And Christ will shine on you. When you rebound, get back into the filling of the Spirit, the spiritual life, fellowship with God, and then start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. 3. James 2:26 does not refer to faith in Christ. When it says, "For just as the body without breath is dead, even so faith without works is dead." That's not talking about faith in Christ. That's talking about the faith rest life. Faith rest life without grace righteous production is dead. So James 2:26 does not refer to faith in Christ, but failure to live the faith rest life. Failure for us in the church age to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. 4. The church age believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills has God's problem solving devices out on the flat line of his soul, enabling him to clear all the hurdles of suffering for blessing with precisely correct procedure. The church-age believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills has God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of his soul, enabling him to clear all the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And when you do that, you glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum. Right here, this is the only place you get to have this greater grace blessing. There's no suffering in heaven. This is the only place you get to receive this awesome greater grace blessing. Suffering for blessing. And so that you can glorify Jesus Christ to the maximum by clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Here, now, and then in heaven, you will glorify the Lord forever and ever and ever. 5. One of the most important of these problem-solving devices, and the one emphasized in our passage, 2 Corinthians 4:13 and James 2, is the faith rest life. Now let's get some principles. 1. Fear, and I mean the mental attitude sin of fear. Fear sees the problem. The faith rest life sees the solution. Fear sees the problem. The faith rest life sees the solution. You will never solve your problems with a problem. That's a deep point. 2. Believers occupied with a problem. Believers occupied with the problem inevitably end up trying to solve a problem with a problem. Inevitably end up trying to solve a problem with a problem. Three. Believers who develop God's problem-solving devices, get them out on the flat line of your soul, they end up solving the problem with divine solutions. They end up solving the problem with divine solutions. So here's the principle for you solve your problems with divine solutions. And divine solutions are God's problem-solving devices. You solve your problems with divine solutions. And divine solutions are God's problem-solving devices. Personal sense of destiny, what a great problem-solving device. You know you're only here for a very short time, but you know you have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord forever and ever and ever. You know your destiny. You know the doctrine of resurrection. You know Jesus Christ is the first fruits, and you know that you will also be resurrected. You know you will have a resurrection body. You know you will live with God forever and ever and ever. An absolute confidence. And there's nothing like that. You have that. That gives you inner peace, which transcends all human understanding. You understand that the Father has one of your hands, and that the Son, Jesus Christ, has the other hand, and that when He says, come home, there you go. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. You solve your problems with divine solutions, God's problem-solving devices. 5. Divine solutions are the only solution. Divine solutions are the only solution. Human solutions are no solutions at all. Human solutions are no solutions at all. Six, the decisions we make today determine our future tomorrow. The decisions we make today determine our future tomorrow. Now, if you choose to make bad decisions in arrogance and live in Satan's cosmic system, that will guarantee failure. Oh, you won't lose your salvation. You will guarantee failure. You won't live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You won't reach spiritual maturity. You won't be called Philos to Theo, the friend of God. You'll lose out on all greater grace blessings for time and for eternity. Seven, God makes war against the arrogant believer living in the cosmic system. God makes war against the arrogant believer living in the cosmic system, but he gives grace to the humble believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. God makes war against the arrogant believer living in the cosmic system, but he gives grace, 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 and more grace down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. And I hope all of you have that picture. You see that grace pipeline. You're encapsulated by the grace pipeline. You have the security of grace blessings coming to you every day, day after day after day after day, down that grace pipeline. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and have attained occupation with Christ, you have greater grace blessings coming down that pipeline to you day after day after day. Eight, arrogant believers have to be humbled by God. While humble believers will be blessed by God. Arrogant believers have to be humbled by God, while humble believers will be blessed by God. Nine, God is infinitely greater than his creatures. And that infinite God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit indwells every single one of you. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. He who is in the world is the temporary ruler of planet Earth, Satan. Greater is that infinite God living in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, than he who is in the world. Ten. Therefore, God's knowledge, the Word of God, Bible doctrine, is infinitely greater than any problems or suffering that we will face. Therefore, God's knowledge, the Word of God, Bible doctrine, is infinitely greater than any problems or suffering that we may face. Unfortunately, in the time in which we live, this absolute truth of the Word of God escapes those living in the cosmic system. 11. Paul could speak of his suffering and death because he had maximum confidence in God and His Word. Paul could speak of his suffering and death because he had maximum confidence in God and His Word, that He would deliver him either from the suffering, and sometimes that happened with Paul, but he also understood He would deliver him by the resurrection. You see, there was a time when God's plan for the Apostle Paul was finished here on earth. Paul was arrested, placed in the Mamertine dungeon. It wasn't the Hilton Hotel. It wasn't beautiful rooms. It was the Mamertine dungeon. And he knew that God's plan for his life on earth was finished, and that now he was going to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. He knew that he would be executed, that the lictor's axe would come up, and then the lictor's axe would come down, and his head would come off, and his soul and spirit would go to be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, Paul is in heaven in an interim body, in heaven, waiting for his resurrection body that will be given to him at the rapture, the end of the church age. But right now, in an interim body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that he was being delivered. At that execution, he was being delivered in his death. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 1, we studied this. Let me give this to you. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9 says, indeed, we had the sentence of death in our hearts. That is, it was a totally helpless situation. For the purpose that we absolutely should not trust in ourselves, but we absolutely should put our trust and confidence in God, the one who raises the dead. Resurrection. Resurrection was a great, great blessing, providing that peace which transcends all human understanding in the Apostle Paul's heart. Verse 10, who, God, delivered us out from so great a danger of death. And he will deliver us when it comes time for death, dying grace, in whom we have confident expectation that he, God, will deliver us again in the future, in heaven, the resurrection. So he has this fantastic confidence of being delivered, sometimes from the severe suffering for blessing, but ultimately deliverance, again, through the doctrine of resurrection, dying grace and the doctrine of resurrection. 2 Corinthians 1, 9 and 10. 12. This confidence was founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This confidence was founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thirteen, Jesus Christ is the first fruit and guarantee of resurrection for all who place their faith for salvation in Him. Jesus Christ is the first fruit and the guarantee of resurrection for all who place their faith for salvation in Him. Turn over, we'll end with this evening. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. This passage, verses 13 through 18, is one of the central passages on the rapture. First Thessalonians 4, verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. All right. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.